Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. What to talk about today? Oh, the Yankees win, right? We're talking about the Yankees? No, we're not talking about the Yankees. Come on. Oh, I know. We could talk about what else? We could talk about the Mets and that. No, I can talk. We could talk about the Christmas Day basketball. No. I think you know what we're going to talk about. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number. We might work in a phone call or two. This is just kind of a reaction day because this has been a gigantic story in the National Football League for the last year and a half recently, and now we have some form of closure or at least decisive action agreed to by both sides in the Deshaun Watson case. Get to that in one moment. Check out the latest lines in world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You got to be 21. You got to be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So Deshaun Watson has reached a settlement with the league. NFL, NFLPA, and Deshaun Watson's people have reached a settlement. 11 games, $5 million. 11 games, $5 million. And we've heard from Deshaun today. I don't think it was great in terms of meeting with the media and not having any PR person with him. I think that was not a great idea. There have been some great ideas. That was not one of them. But still, Deshaun Watson did it, talked to the media, Here's what he said in regards to his own innocence.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. And for us to be able to move forward, you know, I have to be able to take steps and put pride to the side. And I'm going to continue to stand on my innocence and keep pushing forward. And I've always, you know, stood on not disrespecting or sexual assaulting anyone.
This is him trying to clarify what exactly he apologized for.
I apologized beforehand. I think the second time I spoke to you guys, I actually apologized. But I think for some people, it didn't maybe register as I was apologizing. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify, you know, I was apologizing to all women and people that was affected about this situation. Because it's, you know, it's definitely a tough situation.
This is a follow-up when he was asked what exactly he was apologizing for.
What are you apologizing for?
For everyone that was affected about this situation. There was a lot of people that was triggered.
But not the women that accused you of this?
I've apologized to all women. So anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation.
Just blanket apology, I'm sorry. Which is actually a good way for a man to wake up in the, during the day, right? You wake up and just go, man, I'm sorry. For what? I don't know. But this is obviously far more important than just the blanket dude apology in the morning. I think this is really interesting. You know, I can play for you what Andrew Berry is saying. I can play all that stuff. But now you've heard from Deshaun Watson. You've obviously, you know the case. What do we make of it? I'm going to give you my opinion first, okay? Then I'm going to go around the room. We get a chance, it might work in a phone call, 877-99-FOX. We'll work on the little Twitter machine, at Gottlieb Show. We'll check out the Facebook page, that's the Doug Gottlieb Show fan page. And we'll just kind of, let's do it sort of old school, organic-like. This is a big story. The first thing is that, and it's a very important distinction. Okay, settling and apologizing does not mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't. And I will agree with Deshaun Watson in what he said. I do think it's really hard, and you have to be very, you have to have what's been termed to me social jujitsu, right? You have to be delicate and yet forceful. You have to use guile and positioning in order to get across what you're trying to get across, maintain a level of sensitivity while maintaining your innocence as well. Okay. So the idea is this, that settling, and this is, it's really important, right? Settling is not an admission of guilt. Apologizing and the way in which he apologized is not an admission of guilt. That said, it doesn't wipe him free of suspicion or all we have in terms of documentation, or even the former federal judge who ruled in the favor of the NFL just didn't want to suspend him to this level. I think it's a win for Deshaun, because if you look at things and you're neutral, you step aside, you just go, look, I'm not going to take sides on either side. Hey, forget the previous suspension of six games. The NFL wanted a season or an indefinite. The last point they were willing to settle on was 12 games. He got 11. That's an absolute win for Deshaun Watson. And I'll also point out, while it's going to be difficult in his first game to beat the Houston Texans, his old team, when he's got to be rusty, I do think in terms of getting out there and playing, the Texans aren't going to be as talented a team as the Browns are, and there's a chance there to put his stamp on it against the Texans. This is why I didn't want to play for the organization. Look at the organization I'm playing for now. Completely have my back and have a better football team. Now, the problem with it is you sound incredibly insensitive when you just deal with sports and not deal with the social and personal issues aside, okay, when you don't. I notice a level of consistency from Deshaun Watson, even if others want to point out the inconsistency. I do think it was a mistake for him to go out there and try and handle this on his own. It's not that he's not bright enough. It's not that he can't handle himself. It's that in trying to use the right words at the right times and have the right answers for the right questions, that's really hard when that's not what you do for a living. Right? It's just not. Does the NFL look bad? No, I think the NFL actually comes out looking like they tried to be really strong. Do the Browns look bad? A little bit. A little bit. They look like they got their guy. They're willing to do whatever it takes to fix their football team. And all that other stuff, I think, goes a little bit by the wayside. You know, they threw Dee Haslam out there to act like, well, listen, a woman is I mean, it's purely for looks. So there's a lot to it. I think Deshaun gets a W because they were previously willing to settle on 12 games, the league was, and he got 11. He didn't sit the full season. He gets a play against the Texans. I don't think it was the smart decision to have him answer those questions all on his own. I do think he talked himself a little bit in circles, but I also understand that a settlement is not an admission of guilt, and an apology, if worded in a specific way, is also not an admission of guilt. That said, it strikes as a meaningless apology that somebody made him do and makes him seem cold and callous and disconnected and all of it seem like BS, including the whatever psychological work and sensitivity training he's going to go through. Do I think it eliminates from our minds what we think of him as a human being? I do not. I think that's a really hard one to escape. But I would point out that Big Ben Roethlisberger, granted, it was only two different women, two different years, but they were reportedly a major issue with one that led to his 6-game suspension. And here we are 15 years later, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Do I think that happens to Deshaun Watson? I don't know. But I could go through player after player after player who has done something cruel, who has done something wrong, but done something in the early or middle point of their career, and you play long enough, you live long enough, and people have a tendency to either forgive or simply forget. All right, Jason Stewart, your thoughts.
Let's see. I'm less forgiving on this one. I think the NFL comes across as being the league that tried to appeal to the public and say, we're going to go for as much as possible. They had the commissioner call him a serial predator, basically. But those words seem to come off a little empty today. I understand the sentiment of a settlement is that nobody walks away happy. I get this. But, I mean, did the players' union have any leverage in this situation? I don't think they've ever won a lawsuit against the NFL. The NFL seemed to me could have just implemented a penalty on this, and it just seems to me like them even settling comes off as weak. I think 11 games shows that they don't really have a lot of teeth. I think it's extra special dirty that the game that he's going to come back to happens to be in Houston so they can promote it and get as much out of his return as possible, which is really dirty to me. It was confusing today that the team came out and said that he's got a lot to work on through counseling and it's going to take time when he hasn't admitted to doing anything. What is he going to counseling for if the guy from the get-go hasn't admitted to doing anything wrong? So it's like the mixed messages. If today was about finality and clarity, which that was the two buzzwords of the day, this has been left with more questions than answers after the media access today. I think the NFL comes out looking weak, and I agree with you on this part. Deshaun's team won this. I mean, I think they got off easy.
Let me go to Dan Beyer. Dan, your thoughts.
I think Jason said it pretty well. I agree with a lot of what he said. You know, I mean, Calvin Ridley's got to, you know, pick the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, and he's going to miss an entire season and has to prove that he's rehabilitated. And so to have the NFL have the ability to suspend him for a year and to back off of that, which almost seems like an olive branch to the Players Association, I just find yeah, I find it crazy. I think Jason said a lot of what I felt.
Okay. I think here's the perspective I do think we should have, okay? Without any question, this is, I believe, the longest suspension, longest suspension for anything of this sort of magnitude in the NFL, although we've never had kind of this volume of it, right? So we haven't, you go back in and other issues with guys and women in the league, and we're getting closer. I would also point out, like, if we're going to be fair, it's not a high bar to find a grand jury to indict somebody. Again, to charge them, to actually find them guilty is a higher bar, but to simply get an indictment in a grand jury is not seen as a high legal bar. And twice it went to the grand jury, twice they were denied the chance to indict. So, again, I'm just trying to be the voice of fairness and sit here and go, I understand how we all perceive it. All any of us, you don't have to be like girl dad like I am to have kind of the human sensitivity of going, okay, this doesn't feel right, doesn't feel like it's fair. On the other hand, if you're going to be totally fair about it, you sit there and go like, wait a second, like they couldn't get an indictment. Four cases. I don't know how, like, feel just the whole thing feels like there's something to this story that we don't know and we may never know because we've only heard basically the attorney's side and a couple of things drop from the actual case. But outside of that, like, I'm left sitting there going, I get it, but you have to have the perspective of leagues don't usually do this, even though players aren't usually involved in something of this depth and this magnitude. Leagues don't usually step in this. And the NFL, for the first time ever, can sit there and go like, look, we tried. Why did they settle? I think, you know, like, again, if we're really, really honest, okay, we're really honest, people settle for a myriad of reasons. They don't want other things coming out. They don't want their process challenged. There's other things that get put on display when you go through an actual appeals process that even the side that feels like they're going to win doesn't want exposed. So I hear you guys, but I'm more inclined to think I thought a season was about right. I understand. I thought six was way too light. And at some point you just sign the deal and get it done and get a punishment levied. I know it's a win for Deshaun, but I don't think it's a huge L for the league. John Ramos, your thoughts.
I agree with you about the win for Deshaun Watson. I definitely think it's that. I also think that the NFL could have done something more, and I think they just kind of did what, kind of like they tried to do a middle ground. I think they thought the season was too long, but more than six was better. And yeah, that whole thing about coming back at Houston, I mean, look, NFL's reality television at its best. I mean, that's kind of interesting how it just happens to fall on the Houston Texans where he comes back. The guy apologized a lot. He said the same thing over and over again. I kind of agree with you as well. I mean, if there are legal procedures to what happens, and if he did go past those legal procedures and they couldn't find anything, then, you know, our feelings are, do I think he did something wrong? Yes, I do. But you can't legally prove it because they went through a court system that couldn't legally prove something like that. So I'm not going to try to be the, you know, the bigger purveyor of wisdom from our legal court system. So, but yeah, do I think he got off and was the winner in this? I do believe that, yes.
Had it been 12 games, it would have been the Bengals on the road. I don't know. I do wonder how much that game mattered to anybody. I do.
It was thought to be a sticking point, honestly, for all the talks that we've had over the last month when the schedule came out, that the NFL did not want him to play in Houston. They did. That was the messages that we were receiving in why the NFL was was trying to settle for a 12-game, $10 million suspension. And in the end, it's 11 games and $5
million. What a world. What a world. By the way, the other matchups that weekend, just so you know, like you're like, oh, everybody will be watching that one. Okay, so that's week, was that week 12?
13, I believe, because of the 13? Bye.
Yeah, because that was after Tampa. Obviously, they didn't want him in that Brady game, right, to take away from Brady. The other games, the Sunday night game is Dallas and Indy. You have Chargers. By the way, you have Chargers taking on the Raiders, which is another AFC game, a late AFC game. The other early games are Denver-Baltimore. That's the other CBS game. Wow, how about CBS is going to have to choose between Denver and Baltimore and Cleveland and Houston? They're going to choose Denver and Baltimore. I don't think it's even close. I feel like it looks really bad now. I don't think it'll be as big a watch as people think. At the end of the day, it's still the Texans. And we'll see what the Browns are then. In comparison to Denver and Baltimore, that one pales in comparison. And then over on the other side, you got Washington taking on New York. Ooh, that's a big one. You have Green Bay taking on Chicago. Those are CBS game, Fox games, excuse me. So, I don't know. Listen, this is an open forum within reason. 877-99 on Fox. I understand where Jay Stu comes from, where Dan Beyer comes from. Ramos feels somewhere in between those two and me. I'm not all the way over on the, I'm not sitting here defending Deshaun Watson in any way. I'm defending kind of the process and how we ended up here, right? That, and the fact that as much as in the very short term, we feel like, man, that guy got off. Here is a former judge who said, hey, to this point, 6 was the most that I could do and feel good about it. And then only the league was able to go back and get 5 more games, nearly doubling the suspension. So there's a way of looking at it where it seems a little bit stronger than how it's initially perceived. 877-99 on Fox.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. I got an interesting nugget for you, by the way, on Pujols that I got to make sure we get to with the That's Baseball segment, because I was wondering, he's got 10 home runs this year. I was wondering about how many of those home runs were off the Colorado Rockies. And the answer is that that's only his second of the year. But it's really interesting on where his home runs come and how that plays out. All right, let's get back to the story of the day. Sean King joins us, of course, starting quarterback in the NFL. You could see him via VSIN Live. That's VSIN Live, okay? And the VSIN Pro Football Betting Guide will be available on the 25th of August. Take a deep dive into the upcoming NFL season through the bettor's lens. You can get a copy when you sign up at VSIN.com/subscribe. And Sean, let me just ask you, what do you think of the suspension of Deshaun Watson?
Well, I'm just glad that we get closer, Doug, and thanks for having me on. And listen, for your listeners that don't have time to do all the work, that Pro Football Betting Guide is phenomenal. That's myself. That's Mr. Lombardi, who's a former GM. That's the great Brent Musburger, giving you full previews for all of the teams. Basically, you just sign up for this. Again, you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, and we did all the work for you, and just take it from there. The Deshaun Watson thing, I'm just glad we got closure. I mean, how long has this been going on? I mean, the victims needed some sort of closure. Deshaun does. The NFL, I think, really wants to move past this. So whatever conclusion they came to, I was going to be okay with it.
You're gonna get people to say, look, I mean, 11 games, considering the volume of women, the volume of accusations, what would the response be?
Well, I think it's a lesson, you know, for not just Deshaun Watson, but for all these other athletes. I think if Deshaun would have come out and shown contrition and publicly acknowledged that, okay, what I was doing was inappropriate, then I think, I don't even know if he'd have got 11 games, but it was the fact that, you know, he didn't seem to feel like he had done anything wrong. And obviously where there's smoke, there's fire the majority of the time, Doug. And, you know, who has 30 massage therapists? You know what I mean? Like, generally, you find a really good one and you utilize that person because this is something that you use to try and maintain your peak operating performance level. So, you know, hopefully he's learned his lesson. I mean, $5 million, if I'm misspeaking, tell me, is the most significant fine for a player in NFL history. So I think the league sent the message, you know, hopefully the victims can get closure because it's such a significant suspension and penalty. You know, and for anyone that would say that, I mean, he should have gotten the whole season, again, the league has protocols. They have a sequence in place to get to a final decision. I wasn't a person that was saying it should be this amount of games or that amount. I just said whatever they decide, I'm going to just be okay with that.
Can they have a successful season with Jacoby Brissett for a little over half the year?
Well, it depends on which Jacoby we get. You know, I know it seems like a long time ago, but Jacoby was actually put in this situation in Indianapolis a few years back. It was due to injury to Andrew Luck, and he filled in and he was serviceable. I think when you have an elite defense like Cleveland has, and I know they just lost the center for the year, but they still have one of the top five offensive lines in football, and you can hand off to Nick Chubb. They added Amari Cooper. Jacoby doesn't really have to win games. He just has to manage the offense, make the throws that are there, not make big mistakes at big points in games. And if they come out of this 6-5, 7-4, and Deshaun's ready to go, ultimately you just want to get in the playoffs if you're the Browns. And so that's, I think, Jacoby's job is to keep the ship afloat until the $230 million guy gets back.
There's some other things I want to get to with you. Sean King joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Where do you stand on Lamar and the contract, considering that if you look at Deshaun's contract, fully guaranteed, and Lamar, whatever you think of him versus Deshaun Watson, he's been MVP, Deshaun is not. He's never had anything off the field. His injuries have been minor by comparison to Deshaun, who's twice torn his ACL. So I would understand his stance is like, look, Deshaun got that contract. I need X plus one, right? Whereas the rest of the league, and I think the Ravens are saying, that's an outlier contract. We should work off the Kyler Murray deal. We should work off some of these other deals. And yes, he should get a little bit more money. That's currently apparently where they're offering him. Where are you on the Lamar Jackson contract dispute?
Well, Doug, have you ever seen HBO's The Wire?
Yes.
They have a part in there where they said the price of the brick went up. Remember they had the co-op and Marlo took over and he raised the going rate. Well, the price for an MVP starting quarterback in this league went up. And if you're Lamar Jackson, that's not an outlier contract. That's a real contract. If they franchise Lamar, Deshaun Watson's contract plays into the average of the top five highest paid at the position, correct?
Yes.
So then it's not an outlier. So I understand Lamar's position. If I was Lamar, I also would say I don't need to save any cap space because you guys don't utilize it to surround me with elite personnel on offense anyway. You know, to me, that's the storyline with the Ravens is why have they never given Lamar Jackson, DeAndre Hopkins, or Davante Adams, or Tyreek Hill.
Can I push back on that?
Absolutely.
And they drafted first-round draft picks at tight end. They drafted a first-round draft pick at wide receiver as well. And the honest answer is those guys don't want to play in that style. They just don't. They don't want to play if their targets are going to be limited because the guy you have a quarterback who runs and they have given him an elite offensive line. Elite running backs, and within how they play, I would argue that they've drafted him a wide receiver last year too. Like I've actually done more in terms of drafting dudes than anybody.
And so I would say if they were willing to offer what the Dolphins offers, no way you could tell me Tyreek Hill would rather play with Tua than Lamar Jackson. Hollywood Brown last year. Nobody thinks of Hollywood as like, I don't think he's a top 20 receiver. And I know Lamar missed some games of injury, but he had 91 catches last year. I mean, Mark Andrews, one of the top four or five tight ends in football, maybe even higher. So when he's gotten elite talent, Doug, they've been productive. I mean, you go to Minnesota to select a wide receiver. No offense to Rashad Bateman, but, I mean, tell me the receiver factory that the University of Minnesota is. I don't think Lamar should be held accountable for bad decisions by the organization, you know, when it comes to drafting guys. You know, J.K. Dobbins, I think, was an excellent draft pick. He just has to stay healthy.
Yeah, he got hurt.
But I'm saying, when you look at what the Dolphins have done for Tua, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, went out and got Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, like, they're eliminating excuses. I mean, even the Jets, I mean, they selected Michael Carter the year before and then went and got Breece Hall and got Garrett Wilson, added CJ, the tight end from the Bengals. Like, they're eliminating excuses. I mean, these other teams that have elite quarterbacks, I mean, don't just give me the baseline. Like, they're putting the guys in positions, you know, so that they can be elite. Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Joe Mixon, one of the top five running backs in football. That receiving core of Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. I mean, those guys, I mean, that's as good as anybody in football as a group. Like, Lamar's an elite talent. He won an MVP. He deserves to be surrounded by elite personnel, in my opinion. And I love Mark Andrews, but when you're trotting out Rashad Bateman as your top option at receiver for a MVP quarterback, I just think that's a disservice.
Sean King, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. How hard do you think it's going to be for the Rams to repeat?
You know, this is kind of a weird, unique, in some ways fascinating season for them because they're the defending Super Bowl champion, yet no one's talking about him. And granted, you know, Odell Beckham, who had really emerged at the end of the year, probably, I mean, before he got hurt, looked like he was on pace to be Super Bowl MVP at the way he started the game, is not there. They traded Robert Woods, but they brought in Allen Robinson. They have Cooper Kupp back, last year's offensive player of the year. Cam Akers is another 5-6 months removed from that surgery that he came back from. You know, so the Rams are going to be really good. No one's talking about them. I would say this. The NFC over the last decade, I don't think they've had a repeat team go to the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. So it's kind of been like a revolving door, at least on the NFC side. But, I mean, look at the NFC. Brady looks like he's on vacation right now. He lost all three of his interior linemen. I mean, I love the Saints. But can Jameis stay healthy? Are they the same team without Sean Payton as the head coach? I mean, there are a lot of question marks on that side. Is Trey Lance, you know, ready to be a playoff-caliber quarterback in year one as a starter? You know, what are the Arizona Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins for almost the first half of the season? So, I mean, a lot of question marks. You know, I don't see why the Rams can't repeat.
You mentioned Tom Brady. What do you think of him taking a two-week sabbatical, planned sabbatical, mid-training camp?
You know, he's my idol, Doug. I'm going to be honest. I don't idolize men, but I want to remind you of something. If you go back and look at Tom Brady's combine picture, you know, the kid looked like he avoided the weight room his entire time at Michigan. You know, no definition, no muscles. I think he ran a 6-something 40. And then you fast forward and what he's accomplished, I mean, it is unbelievable. So if anybody's earned the right to take 2 weeks in the middle of the preseason, I think it's Brady. You know, I am a little more concerned with the roster in Tampa, you know, losing those three interior linemen. You know, Jensen, of course, you know, got injured in training camp, the center. He's out for the year. You know, Alex Kappa is in Cincinnati. Ali Marpet retired. You know, that to me, you know, presents some concerns. They did not bring back Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul on that defensive front. So I still think they're probably the most talented offense overall. I mean, they added Julio Jones to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They brought in Gage from Atlanta. You know, Fournette has kind of had like a reinvention, you know, as a player, you know, after kind of going to Jacksonville and disappearing. So I still think they're going to be able to produce points. I don't know if they'll be as dominant as they have been the last 2 years, but, I mean, it's hard not to see them making the playoffs. And then, you know, I don't bet against Brady when it comes to the playoffs.
Sean, great stuff. Remember, that's VISN.com/subscribe. Of course, you can hear him and see him on all of VISN's production stuff. He's Sean King, of course, starred in the National Football League as well as in college. Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Doug, right before I go, I got Bills Saints Super Bowl.
Bills Saints. You love the Saints. I love the idea that you get that 1 year carryover after a great coach goes away.
Carmichael was with Peyton the entire time, so the offense isn't changing. Dennis Allen has already been the interim coach there when Peyton got suspended. You get Michael Thomas back. Alvin Kamara doesn't look like the NFL is going to address his issue this offseason until after the season, so he doesn't get suspended. You add Chris Olave. You bring in Jarvis Landry. Add Honey Badger to that defense that was already, you know, top 10-ish, you know, last year. I just think in an NFC with a lot of question marks, if Jameis can stay healthy, New Orleans is very dangerous.
Good stuff. Sean, thanks so much, man.
All right.
There's that team that I said, there's got to be teams we aren't talking enough about. NOLA, clearly one of them. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Got to be 21. Present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Heavy sports news day. Dan Beyer has something fun to add to it with Game Time. Next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to a game.
This is Game Time.
Buyer.
Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, Denny. Welcome back. Earned day off after the ditch day.
Don't buy it.
I was in the morning yesterday, so I just missed this show yesterday.
Okay,
so
fair enough. For people who weren't listening a couple days ago, you didn't hear us. We spent Tuesday on the golf course. And a Dan Beyer organized ditch day, boss approved, after we all called in sick. He's like, something's up. And it was great. What's the game today?
The game today is...
I feel a draft.
And Doug, we are going to be drafting the best highlights from that ditch day on the golf course. That's you, me, John Ramos, and Jason Stewart. They could be lowlights. They could be lowlights, right. Yes. The lights in general.
Right.
All right. The order is John Ramos first, Doug second, me third, Jason fourth, and then we snake back in reverse order.
Okay. Ramos, you want to go first? I think I know what Ramos's is, but that's okay.
Well, I don't think – well, we'll see. My highlight of the ditch day at golfing was the fact that everybody took shots, especially you and Jason – that literally went into the air and cleared trees. And we're like, yeah, it's right there. Just went right over that tree. And then we never – you could never find the ball. Because who knew where it went? But yet we saw it. Like, I'm like, oh, it just went right over that tree, Doug. And then we went to go – and then you and Jason would be driving around, like, for 10 minutes going, I don't see the ball. And I'm like – right over the tree. It was just hilarious how we all saw balls go over trees but never could find them after.
So we are blind.
Yeah.
lost
balls.
Lost balls. We lost our balls.
I'm such a hack out there that I need the partner that I'm playing with to be a good ball hawk, because I'm blind and I'm not very good. So Doug not being a good ball hawk did not work in our favor.
The problem is that honestly, like with distance, with that kind of distance, I need glasses. No, I have. It's the only thing I need it for is the Christmas, and like I would lose. Plus, the ADD. You're like walking, looking for the ball, and then squirrel. Then you see a squirrel, and you completely lose your mind. I'm thinking about trading down, only because I have a couple of different ones. So I want to offer this up to Jason. Jason, would you want to switch the number two for the four and the five?
Sure. I'm going to I don't want to give you four and five. I want to keep my fifth. I'll trade you first round picks.
Dan, would you trade three and six?
Sure. Yes.
For just two?
Yes.
Okay, we're in. Go.
Yes. All right. So you got three picks coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine definitely when John left the water spout on at the refreshment
awesome.
Center. There was a big jug of water, which by the way had lemons and limes.
Oh, just magnificently cut and
perfectly
manicured.
Yes, to add that little flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
John not only used it for his cooling towel, not for a drink. And then he just left the spout on, so it ran all over the counter. And then the guy had to walk outside because it was just pouring out of everywhere. But that was my favorite.
But you know, there's tons of water in California, so what's a little bit, right?
We had to plow through this here, John's near decapitation of me. is my lead.
Okay.
John was, I don't know,
that,
he was in the
that was
he was
Jason's.
In a sand bunker.
That was Jason's.
Jason. Yeah.
Oh, that was me for sure.
Jason's. But it wasn't just that Jason nearly decapitated me out of a sand bunker. It was that there was no, I was like Kobe Bryant with Matt Barnes. There was no flinch in me. No flinch.
True.
No flinch.
My highlight was watching John Ramos play an entire round with the towel underneath his cap so that it looked like a couple bunny ears.
Lawrence Arabia.
But he never changed that when he was like doing a swing or anything. He just kind of left it there. And by the way, just Beyer setting us up at the Oaks Club Valencia, the highlight of the day. That was a huge win for the team. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, okay. Doug. You got two.
This one appears, I think, to be pretty easy. This is Jason. Oh, that's a makeable putt. From there, when you're at least 150 feet away. And the consistency of it was really, really remarkable. And I get one more pick, obviously, and that's the completely and totally uncomfortable left-turn conversation I had with a former colleague before the round began. Oh.
That's game time.
We'll get to number one upcoming next. Plus more Deshaun Watson's Doug Gottlieb Show.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102. If you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.